Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Words of Wisdom, Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you guys on Wednesday as we explore the Word of God together. I'm glad to be back because I really missed all of you on last week. But God has allowed us to come together again tonight, and for that I am grateful. What I'm going to do is going to play a song because give some more callers time to call in because the time was changing. I thank you guys for getting a text and being obedient and calling in at 9 because the studio is lightening up. It's lighting up, and I know that you guys are tuning in. So our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Job, and we're going to explore the 42nd chapter. And when we get through with that, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And then we'll go into the lesson. But before I do that, I'm going to play a song that should be giving us some words to meditate on. And I'm going to come back, and we're going to do the program. So listen to the song. Be prayerful, and I'll come back once the song is completed. And the title of the song I'm going to play tonight is Faithful is Our God. Enjoy the music, and I'll be back.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful
is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Yes, He is. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful
is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today. For I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today.
Faithful,
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 Hello, everybody. If you could hear me now, well, I got a signal that you can hear me because I went off the air for a little while. But all I can tell you is God is good. At this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And I'm so pleased that my grandson, Madison Andrew Chambers, is on the line tonight, look like it. So I'm going to ask that he lead us in prayer when he gets through. We're going to go into the program. Hello?
Ma'am.
Hello, Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
You called in to pray tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to tell the listeners anything tonight?
I hope you enjoy the lesson and understand it.
Okay, so you're ready to pray at this time?
Yes. God, please make this storm go away to make it safer for people that are traveling right now and people that's trying to do things for you, that's traveling to places trying to do things for you. Make it safe for them, God, please, God. And thanks for allowing people that have their phones or any type of gadget they have to come and listen to our program so we can teach them more about you, God. And God, please watch over all the people that love you and worship you, and also the people that's on this program tonight, God. And please make sure everything in their life goes as you want it and as you plan, and that it's the best life that they could ever have, God. And thank you, God, for allowing the following people to tune in just to learn more things about you, even though they're having this storm going outside tonight, God. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison, for that prayer. And I just want to tell you, you know, I'm proud of you. And, you know, you keep trusting God and doing what God has for you to do. And thank you so much, Madison.
You're welcome.
If you can, stay and listen to the program for a while.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, that was Madison. And I ask that each and every one of you keep my grandson in prayer. Because, you know, we live in times when people are doing anything that seems right to their own eyes. And the youth are being destroyed on every side. And Satan trying to take them all out. And people are just doing what they want to do. And they're not being concerned about one another. But I'm asking that you pray for him, you know, Madison, that he stay faithful and that God use him and that he have favor in his life. And he continued to do the things of God. And we're going to get into our program at this time. We're going to be in the 42nd chapter of Job, But as always, I'm going to do a little background. And I know most of you know a lot about Job. And I hope when the program is over that you may be enlightened by something you never thought about. You know, because I always tell you guys that it's not about me, and it's not about me saying things that's going to sound good. But, you know, I empty myself for the Holy Spirit to come, and I be used as a vessel, and the Holy Ghost have the way to bring what he wants for everybody. You know, God knows what everybody need, even though they may not know they need it themselves. And God used the word of God and his instruments to get the words out for the people. So as we look at the book of Job tonight, and we're going to do the 42nd chapter, which is the last chapter in the book of Job, and you might say, well, Sister Diane, why you pick the last chapter? Because, you know, I'm going to give you the background, and then after everything that went on, the last chapter is going to tell us what was the outcome of how Job felt about it and what God had given him to know about it. Well, I want you to know that the book of Job tells the story of a man called Job. You know, Job was a good man. Job trusted God but had terrible troubles. Job's troubles were caused by the devil, but Job didn't know that fact. You see, Satan challenged God by saying that man would only follow him for what he could do for them or only be with him when everything is going right. You see, God told Satan, because Job challenged him, told him that no one was good. God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? You see, Satan said, you know, he didn't think that Job was no better than anybody else, and he knew how wicked man nature is, and he knew how men compromise their faith. They say they're good people one day and not good the next day, or they're a Christian and they compromise their faith by doing the things that they want to do that's not pleasing God. But God told Satan, have you tried my servant Job? He said, because there's none like him on earth. He say he's an upright man. He say he fears me and he shuns evil. So Satan had to get permission from God to touch Job. This should be exciting for everybody to know that Satan can't just have his way with you. Whenever Satan is trying to prompt you, get you, push you, tempt you to do things, he has to get permission from God. This should let you know that Satan's powers are limited and that God has total control and the last word. Here we see that it was only a test. You know, we look at Job and realize all of the things that Job went through, and Job maybe wondered where God was when he was having all of these troubles and why him. He didn't think that he was that bad of a man and all of this was coming. But we learn when we study the word of God that it was only a test that God allowed Satan to, and God was going to get the glory. We have to remember in this world and in our life before the foundation of the world, when God created everything and everything was, he created everything that he can have glory. That's why we say glory be unto God. That's why we say thank you, Jesus, because he deserves all the honor and glory, and everything that he created to give him glory. You see, if you read the first, second, or third chapter in Job, and I wanted you guys to read it, but I didn't want to put too many on you because I had 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42, so I didn't put that. But I want you to know in the first chapters, the Bible tell us about Job and his greatness and him being upright and all that he had. You know, back in his day, he was considered like a little, you know, he was considered like a man of substance. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yokes of oxen, 500 she-asses, and 500 households. That means he had 500 servants in his household. That was a lot, if y'all agree. So this was a man that was great in his time. You see, but Satan had to get permission, as I said earlier, to touch Job, and God said to Satan, now y'all know me, and I'm going to say it like this, God told Satan, shoot your best shot. You see, everything that Job loved was taken from him on the same day. His children, all of them, his servants, all of them, his cattle, his wealth, everything was gone in one day. Job thought that God caused the problem because of something he had did or didn't do. You got to remember, some of our trials and tribulations, even our sins, not being the right person that we should be with God. It's not always what you do, but sometimes it's what you don't do. You know, you might see somebody needing a hand and you walk on by. You know, you might know a child living a block with you and need food, but yet you don't give them none. So you see, you didn't per se believe that you committed a sin, but it's not always what you do. You have to question yourself about the things you know about and you allow to happen and you don't do. You see, in fact, God did not orchestrate Job's problems, but he allowed him to suffer for his glory. And remember, it was only a test. Job trusted God even though he lost everything that he loved. And now Satan, who couldn't get Job to turn his back on God, he went back to God to get permission to tempt him even further. Satan said, now let me touch his health, and surely he will curse you to your face. God said, he is in your hands, Satan, but save his life, and you can't kill him. You know, that's amazing. And y'all need to believe this in the text is how God operates, because if Satan could kill us, we would have all been dead. He wouldn't allow us to look for salvation. He would take us out. Don't give Satan so much power. Every time somebody have something going on, oh, the devil did this and the devil did that. Just like in Job's life, it could be a test from God. It could be God molding and shaping you by allowing trials, tribulation, and adversities to come into your life so that you could be matured. You know, that's why you have so many unmatured people, an old person acting like a young and just can't get it together, of Christian that's been with God for 30 years and yet they don't know Genesis is the first book and Revelation is the last, because they haven't matured. So God knows what it takes to orchestrate and get you to go where he wants you to go, and he uses everything that he created, as I say, for his glory. So you see, Satan now takes and covers Job with boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. But look what Job did. Job just took a piece of pottery and scraped himself and set among the ashes. You know, and here I go again. I could see that Job took his lickings and kept on ticking. He kept it moving, even though he didn't understand, but he kept it moving. But he fully kept trusting God. This is a great lesson for us to learn. You see, and the next thing that happened with Job, after everyone was seeing everything that was happening to him and all of his losses and his health had deteriorated so bad and his condition began to just deteriorate, you know, everybody started forming opinions. You know how sometimes things is going in your life, and I could really take something that happened to us, the people in New Orleans, when Katrina, the storm came, and we had to go out to all of these different places, and me being, you know, loving to go to church, even wherever I was, I went to church, and everybody was just trying to tell me how God was so sick of New Orleans, and New Orleans was a sin city, and God was punishing the people in New Orleans. Well, you know, now then here we got a tsunami. a tsunami. Now we got a flood here. We got the hurricanes all over, and we got the earthquakes, and we got all of that. He's punishing all of them just like he's punishing New Orleans. But only one thing I said, and I was very respectful, no matter where I was when that conversation came up. I said, you sound like Job's friends. Hello. His wife said, you should curse God and die. And his friends tried to help him, but their advice was wrong. You see, they believed that Job had committed many sins, and they did not think that God would allow an innocent man to suffer. They thought that Job was guilty, and that was the punishment, that he was reaping the things that he had sown. You see, they assumed that Job had done many wicked things, but Job argued with them. He explained that he was innocent. Job thought that God would help him, but Job was still suffering. Several times he asked God to show up, and God didn't come. You see, for a moment, Job thought that God was unfair, but the idea was wrong. Nobody is afforded the privilege to accuse God of anything, because God is always fair. Remember, his will be done. God is the creator, the maker of all things. You see, when Job had doubt, the word of God, which was his strength, brought him back to reality, and he continued to trust God. We have to remember the word of God in our time of troubles. You know, the Bible says that the world could give you happy. You have to know that happy is something that happens only when something that you want to happen happens. I'm going to say that again. Happy only happens when something you want to happen. When something happens you don't want to happen, happy is gone. But you see, God say that I'll give you joy. See, Job had a sense of joy in all of his suffering. You see, many times during the different conversations with his friends, Job called on God to appear. And then God finally appeared. Come on now. God let him say everything he wanted to say, and let the friend say what he did. And, you know, Job would get weak because he's human. You know, sometimes you get in a state of weakness when something ain't going your way. You wonder where God at. You know, and sometimes even when people have debt in their family, they accuse God of taking their loved ones. But first, they should be praising God that they allowed them to be in the first place. You know, and all of these things happen because we are humans, and we can only use our little mind, and God, you know, has a great mind, and God has a master plan, and God has designed that all of the way that all of this would evolve, and you got to trust him. God is not set in some way looking for you to mess up, then to beat you on top of your head. You are a child of God if you accepted his son. And God said, what more would I do for you if I'm your heavenly father than your earthly father, whoever sin nature do for you? You can't beat God's giving no matter how you try. And God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son. So when Job kept looking for God, and he couldn't see him in the midst of his storms, and his friends was on his back telling him, you know, you must have did the greatest sin. And Job start questioning himself and start thinking about, and I have people that do that. I have a friend, and she cheated on her husband with somebody one time in her life, and then she got a husband, and her husband cheated on her. And she just feel like that was her payback or the karma or things like that. But God don't operate like that. Yes, you're going to reap what you sow. And there's consequences for everything you do, good or bad. But God is not sitting down looking for you to knock you out, because we done did so many things we ain't had no business we'd have been knocked out. Think about it. God is loving and kind. And you see, so Job kept doing that, and his friends kept trying to figure it out. And Job sometimes say, I wonder, is God punishing me for when I did thus and so? And I wonder, did he punish me for this? And Job finally told his friends, he said, you know what? If I did do wrong, and I'm not perfect, he said, I ain't did nothing that bad that should cause all of this hardship. So then God finally came in answer, and it starts in a verse 38, what I asked you, God, to read. That was the gist of what's in the book of Job. And now we see when God decides to speak, the 38, 39, 40, and 41. And then we're going to look at the 42. So in the 38th verse, God got tired of hearing. And remember, it was only a test. And God decided to answer. So he came in a whirlwind. See, God came in showing the power he had. Who could create a whirlwind and just ride it and walk on in some way? So God was showing, okay, here I am. You want me? Here I am. And look how I came. And look what I could do. And God told him, Job, you know, you done said everything you had to say. He said, now it's my turn to speak. And everything Job and the friends was asking in the book of Job was questions, and they wanted answers from God about what they were doing, but God stepped in and he didn't come with answers, but he began to ask some questions. He told Job, line yourself up, you know, and act like a man, for I demand thee the answers. So God started giving him questions. And it's so sweet. And I'm going to only pick up three. And if you read any of it, you picked up much more because there's so many. God asked Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? He said, declare if thou have understanding. You know, somewhere in there, God asked him, can you make thunder roll, Job? Don't try to elevate yourself and line yourself up with me, because there's nothing that you, there's nobody that can compare to God, because that's what makes him God. He's God all by himself. So don't think you afforded the privilege to say, oh, I'm self-made and I don't need God and I don't need nobody. You know, that's what a lot of people believe. God does at some point ask, what is this all about? If not God, then who? If not God, then what? So God told him, he said, can you take the waters in the sea and put them in a boundaries and make them stay there, Job? Can you keep the stars in the sky? Can you make the moon come up only on this time? Do you know how many stars are there in the sky? So God came to Job like that, and God was letting him know, I am all that and much more. So when we get, see, God reminded the men, Job, his friends, and all he was going back and forth, and they didn't know it was a test. But he answered them because they kept calling him. Then Job was sorry what he said about God. And Job's friends were sorry too. And we come to the 42nd chapter. And in the 42nd chapter, we're going to start with the first verse and we're going to go to the sixth verse. And the scriptures read, it's the Bible. And everything that I gave in the background, I did different things out of the different chapters in the Bible and plenty of the word was the actual words of the Bible. And, you know, and then I put my little twist with it. So in the 42nd chapter, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou cannot do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I uttered that I understood not. Job is now saying, you know, I was talking loud and I was really saying nothing. He's saying, you know, you showed up and you asked me these questions that showed me how marvelous you are. And he said, I realize now I don't understand all things. And then Job said, things, I'm still in the Bible, the verse. He said, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job finally admit, I don't know it all. And I'm going to rely on you, God, because I don't know. He said, "Here I beseech ye, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard." Now, this is so magnificent. Listen at this. This verse 5 in chapter 42. It says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes seeth thee." When God showed up in that whirlwind, Job said, "I heard about you, and I even believe it, but now I know and see even more for myself." See, that's what happened with everybody when they first meet God. You know, it's so new to them. It's so refreshing, and it makes them want more. He said, "Therefore, I offer myself and repent in the dust and ashes." Job said, "Okay, God, you got me. I realized I was wrong, even though I lost all my children. I had 7 children, 7 boys and 3 girls, lost them in one day. Somebody came back and told me all my cattle, lost it in one day, all of my money, all of my servants. And then the devil got permission and came back and took my health." He said, "With all of that, I'm going to trust you." You know, and he probably say, "Well, you know, I'm human every now and then. I got to question it, but I trust you." You see, even though in the end, Job's era of overstating his righteousness, when he sometimes said he had done nothing that deserved his suffering, you know, that if that's the only error he had and the rest of it he took it, Job was pretty cool. You see, the trials Job endured were not related to his behavior. Instead, God used the suffering as a test and as a part of his sovereign plan for Job's life. The life of Job is proof that man usually have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes in the life of each believer. Sometimes you think you know. God say his thoughts is so high from yours. Sometimes you wonder why God is allowing this to happen and why it's going this way, but he's using it all to get you to where he wants you. You see, all humans ask the question at some time or another in their life, why do bad things happen to good people? And you could just as well flip it around and say, why do good things happen to bad people? But we're not in control. But God got you, because you see, what is for you is for you. Nobody can take it, or they can't dwarf what God has for you. They can't shorten it. It is the age-old question and difficult to answer, but believers know that God is always in control, and no matter what happens, there are no coincidences. Do you hear me? Do you believe me tonight, y'all? Nothing happened by chance. Job was a believer. He knew that God was on the throne and in control, though he had no way of knowing why so many terrible tragedies was occurring in his life. But you see, Job never lost his faith in God, even under the most heartbreaking circumstances that tested him to the core. It's hard to imagine losing everything you own in one day. Property, possessions, children. Most men would sink into depression and even become suicidal after such a nightmare. However, Job never wavered in his understanding that God was in control. You see, our responsibility to God is to do. And to obey him, to trust him, and submit to his will, whether we understand it or not. See, somebody who want to understand everything about something, that's why God have the word faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and an evidence of things yet not seen. If you can know it all, you don't need faith. But because you don't know it all, you need faith. And everything ain't for you to understand. Some things God's going to allow you to understand by and by. But until you do, You keep doing what you're supposed to do. You keep going where you're supposed to go. You keep trusting God. You keep allowing God to use you. And maybe you'll understand by and by. You see, when we do, we will find God in the midst of our trials, possibly even because of our trials, is sometime when man find God. So trials is necessary. God said he never promised you a rose garden, and because you love him and you're a Christian, you wouldn't have trials. And the book of James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers of temptations and divers of trials and tribulation that formulates in your life. He didn't say if you have a trial. He said, but when you have a trial. So we're going to have trials. This world we live in is going to deal us out trials. You know, Katrina came and it wet the whole city and it rained on the Christians and the sinners. So some things are just going to come in your life. You can't control it. But it's never what comes your way. It's never about what's happening to you. But it's always who you're going through it with. And most people, they don't believe God is this and that and it takes all that and it's necessary. They don't care about all of that. But let them get in a jam. Let them get in a jam. First person they gonna call that same God who they act like have no power, but want him to conjure up some power for them at that time. You see, we have to get to the point where we say, my ears has heard of you, but now my eyes has seen. That's when you get a real relationship with God. And everybody needs to have it for themselves. And if we look at the 7th chapter all the way through the 9th, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. That was God talking to Job's friend. And against thy two friends, he said, you know, I was sick of y'all. For ye have not spoken of me the things that is right as my servant Job has. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up to him, offer up yourselves a burnt offering. You know, and whenever people committed sins or did things that didn't please God, they went and made offering. God done told Job friends, now y'all done talked about Job like y'all had so much information. And, you know, you done criticized him and told him what he did. He said, and, you know, God is revealing now that it wasn't about all of that. He was letting them know it was only a test and Job hadn't did this or that. He said, now go sacrifice, make a sacrifice to Job, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept. God is saying, you know, I got to punish y'all for y'all giving misinformation. He said, but if Job pray for you, I'll accept it, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have spoken of me the things which is right, spoken the things which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz and Temanite and Bildad and Shuhite and Zophar and Naamaniite went and did according to the Lord commanded them. And the Lord accepted Joseph. You know, sometimes you have to pray for your enemies to get released from what you're going through. You can't be holding things in and unforgiving. You see, Job had to pray for his friends, and Job was ready, willing, and able, and it pleased him to pray for his friends at this time. And that's what Job did. You see, and Job just knew everything was all right, and he was glad that at this time God was with him. And then if we go to the 10th chapter through the 11th, and it reads, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. Also the Lord, this is what I love, Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been in his acquaintance before. Come on now, before he started losing everything. You see, and when Job started losing everything, you know, everybody loved a winner, and they probably walked away from him. You see, they say all that he had been acquainted before, and they did eat with him and in his house, and they beroamed him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone a gold earring. How you like that? You see, when God is ready to lift you up, when you come out of trials and tribulations, he always gives you favor. And you got to remember that Job passed the test. You see, Job was not released from his bondage until he prayed for his friends. Then God gave him double for his trouble. You got to remember, God is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. God changed the hearts of the doubters who now is confronting and comforting and celebrating with Job. They even gave him money and jewelry to boot. You see, God gave Job double for his trouble. You know, if God put you through a test, it's only because he know, that he have equipped you to pass it. And we have to be like Job. We have to withstand and go through to get to where God wants us to be. And all of us got to realize we got to put in the work. You see, so if I get to the 12th through the 17th, which is the last street, it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. You know, God say our latter would be better than our beginning if we continue to follow him. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also gave him, watch this, God gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And they give the name of the daughters and the names of the third. They had Karen Kapua and all the land. No, whatever. Wait, they gave 3 names. Shemama was the name of the second one. Kielash, and the name of the third, Karashpash. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughter of Job. God gave him 7 sons, 3 daughters, and he made his daughters gorgeous. They looked like goddess. And look what he did, the Bible say, and their father gave them inheritance among the brethren. You know, in those days, women couldn't inherit. But Job gave his daughters inheritance along with the brothers. Hallelujah. And they said their daughters were beautiful. After this, all of this happened. He went through his trial. He got lost, got again. Joseph lived 140 years, and then he died, being old and full of days. And as I close tonight, perhaps the greatest lesson we can learn from the book of Job is that God does not have to answer to anyone for what he does or does not do. You see, God uses our tests, our life experiences, our trials and tribulations to get us into our intended purpose. You know, when God created us, he had an intended purpose for all of our lives. And as we go through this thing in life, we, you know, our eyes begin to come open and our hearts begin to soften, and hopefully we mature and we begin to pass the test and we get more into what God wants us to be. And the main thing is God wants us to take on the image of his son. You see, Job experiences teach us that we may never know the specific reason for our suffering, but we must trust our sovereign, holy, righteous God. Because listen to this, and don't ever forget it, God makes no mistakes. His ways are perfect. Since God's ways are perfect, we can trust that whatever he does and whatever he allows is all so perfect. We can't expect to understand God's mind perfectly, as he reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And that's in the book of Isaiah 55:8-9. And sometimes I want you to know that the things that you're going through, the places that you're being taken to, you have to realize that it could only be a test. Hold on. Stay strong. God allows us to have examples in the Bible that we could learn from. You know, God orchestrated and he wrote the Bible. He allowed 40 men from all walks of life. And the word of God isn't written by man, but it's inspired by God. And everything that God has in there is for us to learn from. So as we study these characters in the Bible in a different book, ask yourself, what do God want you to get from this? Excuse. Take what you can. It should be something. You know, the atheists always figure that the Bible was so tampered with and man wrote it and they did what they want. Don't you know God have enough power if he want to create a Bible for his people for all generations? He can't fix it where it could get right. Think about it. God created the whole world and everything in it. The Bible said, "The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything therein." And that's our lesson for tonight. But now, you know, it's time. If you would like to say something or you would like to make a comment, you know what you could do. You could press the one button on your phone. And I just want to tell you guys, thank you for praying. The last week I wasn't on, but the week before that I was on. And I asked y'all to pray for my friend, Sister Pauline Scott. She went in the hospital. Well, I want you to know she went in the hospital and she had a false alarm of what she thought was going on with her. And they put her and they did tests and they said everything checked out and they let her go home. And thank God I was there to go pick her up and get her home and, you know, do whatever. And she went to the doctor Monday because she had went to emergency. And the doctor, the emergency told her to get an appointment with a primary doctor so he could read all of the tests. And they said everything was fine. So they gave her an appointment with a dermatologist because she wanted to have beautiful skin. That's the way my friend was. She went to the dermatologist on Wednesday, and the next day or the day after she died. Pauline Scott has been with us for 5 years. It was sometimes she would call and she would say things about the program, and she would always give me encouragement. And believe me, she didn't always call on the phone, but, you know, she always found her way to give me encouragement, and, you know, we would explore the word of God together, you know, off of the air. But Miss Pauline has died, and now we have to shift our prayers from her to her family. So I'm asking that everybody pray for Pauline Scott family, that God will strengthen them in their time of trouble. Anybody would like to pray? Anyone has a prayer request? Anyone would like to give encouragement? Anyone would like to do anything? You could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open a mic. And if you're listening on the internet, you would have to call the call-in number to be able to press a one. So are there any comments from anybody? Okay, I have a caller. Your number is 504-355.
Ms. Diane.
Caller, I have opened your mic.
Yeah, hello, Ms. Diane. This is Kathy Foxworth. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ms. Kathy Foxworth.
Glad to hear your voice and glad to listen to your beautiful lesson. I'm sorry I was not tuned in when you were praying for your friend who died, but sorry I didn't get a chance to know her. But I like to offer prayer for her and her family when they were bereaving time. And also I have a bereaving, my fiance, which you know, Rory, he lost his uncle. And the service will be this Saturday. So we all need prayer and be lifted up in the name of Jesus. So that's just my comment. I enjoyed the lesson tonight, and I'm enjoying hearing your voice because I love you so much. Continue doing what you're doing. We definitely need you. That's my comment for tonight.
Thank you for the comment. And I'm glad to hear from you, and I love you too. You know, we be on the air. You know, we be together every Wednesday night on the air, and it's just a pleasure sometimes to hear a voice. There's a lot of people call in. I don't know everybody's number. So some of you, I've never even heard your voice or even know your name. But as always, I'm glad that you took time out of your schedule and that you called in. And if there's no one who would like to say anything and no one would need prayer or anything, we're going to go ahead and close. I'm going to do a prayer. And I'm going to do a benediction, and we're going to go ahead and close out for the night. And I have I'm really excited because I have a guest in the studio tonight, my friend Dr. Smith from Maryland came in to go to the Jazz Fest, and they are going to stay with me, and he's over at the house, so he's in the studio with me tonight. That's not a first, but I don't get company in the studio all the time. And it's my good friend, and I love him so much, and I thank God for him and his wife and his family. And it's a pleasure to have friends. The Bible said if you want to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. And they have people that fall out of friends. You know, me and my friend Doc, it's almost 20 years, I think. We never fell out, and for those who don't know, when I had my problem with my surgery, you know, he's the one that took care of me in Bethesda, Maryland, and, you know, I could never forget that besides so many other things, and I'm just glad. And this is another thing. Like I tell y'all, you don't understand why some things happen. You don't even understand why you meet some people. But God is doing that in the background, behind the scene, to hook it up. So when, you know, even though you don't have the friendship and you know, you guys is all right and you're glad to be friends, but there's a bigger purpose to it. And you don't always get to understand it, but you will understand it by and by. That was a critical time in my life, and I needed somebody in high places. And God say, I've been set it up for you. And I believe that. But I have another caller. Caller, your number is 504-710. Your mic is open.
Hello, Miss Diane. This is Rosa.
Hey, Rosa.
I just wanted to thank you for inviting me tonight to listen to you. It was wonderful. I want to thank God for putting you in my life. Started out as a business venture, but now you are more than just a business person to me. You are more like a mother. And I really, really appreciate everything that you have done for me since I've met you. And I just want to say thank you for that. You are truly, truly just a wonderful person. I also just wanted prayer for strength and guidance in the situation that I'm going through in my life right now. And other than that,
and
I just want to say thank you.
And as Job, it might just be a
test. Yeah. That's what it might be. That's what
yeah.
I wanted to say. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so happy God placed you in my life, and it was for a reason. And now I see what
and
the reason is.
Yeah, and God, it's what I said in the lesson, there are no coincidences. So don't even try to believe that. And God does things. He know what people need at their time, and he does the connecting. And God is pulling his people together because this world is going to get stiffer and stiffer and colder and colder and everything
yeah.
like that. But for you guys, Rosa, who called in tonight, that was the travel agent lady that we went on a cruise with. And she gave a trip, and it was called the 504, you know, which is New Orleans for life. And we had a wonderful time. So, you know, just like Rosa called, and I'm giving her a shout-out, she's a travel agent. So you may want to book a cruise or book a trip, and you could call Rosa because now she's a part of the Wednesday night family, and we got to
yes,
learn how
I
to
am.
Support our own. But you see, some people out here may have business and stuff, but they never press the button. Rosa, you press. I know what you do. I done gave a shout-out because we are family.
Yes, thank
Rosa,
you so much.
And if you want a number, you know you could definitely get it. And Rosa, I pray that you call back on next Wednesday. You'll get a text for what I want you to read and study, because I don't like to come on Wednesday with just me having information and stuff y'all never heard. I give y'all what I got. And you do what you do with it, and we come together and we explore together. So,
well, my
fasting
starts tomorrow. I'm gonna be in the Bible.
Okay, Rosa says she's going to start
Thank
a fast
you.
And a pray. She's
yes.
going to fast and pray for her strength. And she wants each and every person to pray for her strength. And her name is Rosa, because we like to pray for people by name in our Bible study. It is now 10 o'clock, 1 hour, and I never like to keep you, and it's a long night. I thank each and every one of you that was able to switch over and call at 9 instead of 8:30. That's being flexible. But we got to do a benediction, and we're going to go out. But I must take the time to pray for the prayer request that came in. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more again. We come into your throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we realize that things that happen in our life could be a test, or it could be you using things to mature us, dear God, but it's never what we go through, it's who we go through it with. We have to understand, and we have to learn to hold on to the confession of our faith, and we have to do as Job patiently waited. Yeah, he got a little roughed up a little bit because he's human, and all of us are like that, but we have to stick to the bottom line and hold on to the confession of our faith. And a young lady, Kathy Foxrae, Lord, we want to pray for the loss that they have had in their family, dear God, and bless that family to be able to understand that it's not over, and God can take all sorrow away. I'm asking that you look down upon Rosa, dear God, as she asks to be strengthened in her fasting. Show her. When we fast, dear God, fasting is a way to get God's attention, and Rosa is going to take the time to fast, dear God, and even go to her like you did with Job. You could go in a whirlwind, dear God, because you could do anything that you want to do. And, Lord, I'm asking that you bless all of the families that is represented on the line, those who are still calling and those who want to call and didn't call, and all of the other things that involved. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I will never take it lightly. Holy Ghost, I pray that the words won't return void, and that God, in this lesson tonight, someone could take something with them, and you could get the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you're worthy. And that's our lesson for tonight. And y'all should know the next book, that lesson is coming from next week. We did Job, so y'all see the next book after Job. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Now, y'all figure the next one after that, and that's next week. But for everybody, I just want you to know, if you take care of God's business, God's going to take care of yours. And that's our program for tonight. And I'm asking that you stay blessed, keep all of us in prayer. And if God's allow it, we'll be back next week for the 8:30 hour. This was just an exception to the rule. Next week is 8:30, and I'll send the posting out. I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. Be blessed, and good night.